Thank you, Dawn, for leading last week's lesson on words. You know, David in Psalm 19 prayed, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord." So that was just one verse in a lot of verses in Psalms and Proverbs, all throughout the Bible, about how our words act. And so thank you so much for that study. And I know we've done things on speech in the past by other ladies. So, okay, we are on verse 176. And this is a little bit of a turn, you know, from the rest of how he delighted in, how he meditated in, how he sought. But what did you find as you read? Let's read that. Sally, would you read verse 176?
"I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments."
Okay, so he hasn't forgotten the commandments. To me, he's not. What's the problem here? "I have gone astray." What does that mean? Has he gone completely off rails? Is he apostated? Has he turned his back on God, the Word of God? Has he given in to the afflictions that he suffered and just, you know, just to get rid of them? What's happening? What do you think?
I think he still has a heart for God. It's just he's let the daily things get to him. And in other verses, you know, he's talking about, "I seek you, I seek you, I search for you." And this one, he's asking God to seek for him. Seek him.
Exactly. Okay, we're going to discuss that a little bit later. You brought up a very good point there. Let's go to 155. And let's start there to sort of get a view of that. Salvation is far from the wicked, far. Not because God hadn't acted in their lives, because God doesn't love them, because they do not what?
Seek
his ordinances. What's 156 say? Read, Pat. Read 156, and then we'll in 173.
"Great are your mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your ordinances. Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts."
Okay. Seeking the ordinances, and then he talks about wanting God to help him and to revive him, to make him come alive again. How do you think he expects God to do that? Very important question.
Through his word?
Through his word.
Through his will. In Tennessee, had a conversation with a couple of people. They believe in God's word working in the lives of people. They believe that faith comes by hearing the word of God. They do not believe, one person, a group of people, do not believe in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But one person did. And one person says that it's not just God's providence, but God acting in your life. And I asked him how he did that. And he gave me some verses that are totally wrong. Val, you all, when God says something like, let's go to 135. "Make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes." Okay? And then he says, "Establish my footsteps." Your thoughts on how God, you know, David even prayed, "Make me a servant." We sing a song, "Make me a servant." Does God do it outside His Word, without it working in our lives and our determination? And R is, and there's providence, and that's His business. God works in nations. God works. Providence. I'm not going to take that away. But how does He change hearts? How does He make us a servant? Your thoughts. Because
He's not going to do it against our will. We've got to will ourselves. We want to learn His Word so that we can live by it.
How do you know that?
Well, we have David's example.
Exactly. It's harmony with what the rest of the Bible says. You can't take a couple of verses and take them out of context. Even the pronouns, and I'm not talking about John 14 through 16. I'm talking about 1 Corinthians 6 and all this, you know, about the Holy Spirit. Dawn's lesson brought me in Dave when I read Psalm 19. I'm here teaching, and I'm going to be accountable for what I teach. But I want to be right, and I wanted to not teach you ladies something that's not true. So as we go through the psalm and today's lesson, views, some words are used, when we get into the benefits of it, I want us to think about, how is God going to do? And the prayers that He prays, like revive me and establish me and lead me and those kind of things. Because as we are going to read right here in 176, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. And I ask the question, how is God going to seek him? And then I ask the question. You answered the first one. How is he expected to be found? That's why I ask that. I believe it's through the Word of God. Not that providence will not give him opportunity. Susan was just telling me about the life of the young man who was in charge of the youth thing over there, and how his parents were not Christians. They never opened the Bible except to just sort of crack it open and read something and then close it. But how things in his life led him to become a Christian. I'm not talking about the providence of God. But it took his heart and the Word of God given by somebody to have him obey the gospel. Just like it did the day of the Pentecost. So, in Isaiah 53, 4 through 6, and Romans 3, our condition is that I don't think he went totally astray, but I'm here to tell you, we mess up. Just like he might have messed up. He might have had attitudes that weren't according to what some of that he wrote. Maybe he got discouraged. We get discouraged. Sometimes even our words, we sin with our words. So, but what is our condition and wherein is our hope? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then Romans 3, where is our hope?
Jesus Christ.
In Jesus Christ. Well, let me ask you this. How do we learn about Jesus Christ? Is it something, little voice in our head? Is it something that just God puts on our heart? Quote, unquote. Or how? Faith comes by hearing.
And hearing by the Word of God.
Hearing by the Word of God. Where's it found?
Romans 17.
10-7. Okay. Now, as sheep, who is our shepherd and who leads us. In those readings down there, I under verse 176. Where'd you put? Who's our shepherd? It's from John 10. Come on.
Jesus.
Okay. I am the good shepherd. Well, let me ask you this. My sheep hear my voice, verse 27. Does Jesus speak to us in the night? Do you have a vision of Jesus like Paul did?
It's through his word.
Well, how do we know his words? How do we follow his voice?
By reading.
It's harmony when you come to a difficult verse. Take the clear, as Steve has said many times, and get the unclear. Don't pick a verse somewhere in the Bible and say, this is how God works. I can't do it in all good conscience. And no one else, whether they're in the pulpit or sitting around the dinner table. His words will judge us. We're going to finish that section with 1-5. Dawn, would you read Psalm 119 again, 1-5? This is what we need to understand.
How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe his testimonies, who seek him with all their heart. They also do no unrighteousness. They walk in his way. You have ordained your precepts that we should keep them diligently. Oh, that my ways be made established to keep your statutes.
Okay. The question we've been talking about is also addressed in verse 5. It's a prayer. May my ways be established to keep your statutes. It has everything to do with verses 1-4. It has nothing to do. God's providence out there, he does his work, is behind. I'm not going to put anything on God that the Holy Spirit doesn't, and I'm not going to take away anything from God. But based on context, if you want your ways to be established, you got to get in the book. You got to seek. You got to walk. You got to do right. Is there any thoughts? Yes.
It's been this way for all the way back. He gave words. He told, he didn't have them written. But with Adam and Eve, he told them what to do. Cain and Abel, he told them what to do.
Right.
The children of Israel, over and over, he gave them a law to read and to be taught.
Exactly.
They would sin, what would God do? He sent them prophets. They had Moses as the prophet for so long. And then after they became the nation they were supposed to be, they couldn't get it right. They could not, would not follow his will. He sent prophets to remind them of the words he had given them. So it's always been the emphasis on his words. Now, he used things such as drought and armies coming against them to try to bring them back to his word. So I do believe in the providence of God that there are things that happen in our lives that can turn us around and make us realize where we are and what is wrong when we go astray like this one did. But to get right, we always have to come back to the words that God gave us to follow.
You know, we were talking about make me a servant. At first I couldn't sing that song because I had in my brain, okay, it's in God's corner. It's not in my corner. Then I thought, well, maybe he can give me opportunities, but he can't make me have a heart to do it. He can't make me a servant. He can't make me righteous other than what he's already done by giving Christ on the cross. If I obey, he can't do that without my obedience. So, I just wanted to get your thoughts, because I took a long time talking to some people, you know, and hitting on Psalm 119. We barely went out of Psalm 119. And a young man, still talked about 1 Corinthians 6. That's the bottom. So, it's out there among good people in the Lord's church that have this, not the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but that He moves in their lives in some way. Now you tell me the difference, and I might go along with it.
Just like I said, I think God has things happen in our lives that is what I call His providence.
That's right.
Now, it's up to me to use those things, but I do believe God works in our lives.
I do too.
I wouldn't be married to
it. It was not providence. It was not indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but it was some way.
Well, maybe they didn't understand what providence was.
Exactly.
Maybe that was their problem. Maybe that's what they mean, but don't understand the word providence. I don't know. I don't know if it was or what the
deal was. And that point was made by one of my granddaughters about providence and what it is, because someone was really trying to understand. Because he's obeyed in Christ. And so we were trying to figure out, because of something that someone said, how do you do some of these things that's in Psalm 19? And how are you established? And how are you this? You know, how does God work to make us a servant? How does God work to make me righteous? Do no righteousness, unrighteousness. And that brings us to lesson 4. Okay. In verses 1 through 3, we just read those. The benefits derived. Hearts are blameless. How do we become blameless? Study and obedience to the Word of God. We're blameless before God. We're not perfect. We're justified. You don't have to be ashamed because we're covered by Christ's blood. Do no unrighteousness. And then verse 137 and 138, so as not to be ashamed. It talks about the benefit there, saying, you have commanded your testimonies in righteousness and exceeding faithfulness. What does that say to you? And I'm sorry, the 80 is where the ashamed is. I wrote down the wrong thing on my page. 80, my soul languishes for your salvation. I wait for your word. That's 81. May my heart be blameless. 80. In your statutes, so that I will not be ashamed. That's another prayer, by the way. Prayers are all through this. In your statutes. According to your statutes, the things that I learn, I'll be stand blameless before you. Christ's word will judge us in that day. And then 137 and 138, His judgments are right and faithful. That's the benefit. We don't have to second guess. We don't have to be uncertain. It's something we can trust in. They produce righteousness. You want to be right before God? read His Word and do what He says. Verse 5 and 6. Ways established, made firm, secure. That's number 2. 105. Steve loves this verse. Sandra, do you want to read 105? Thy word.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
What's that mean?
Shows us the way. Like a light in the dark.
It's the way we should go, right? It's the light. He's the light of the world. Christ is the light of the world. And the gospel of Christ, the message of Christ, His word is the light that we that gives us, shines dark from the darkness. We don't have to stumble around. His word gives us light. What's 130 say? What did you put down? So you're ashamed. Yeah. Ashamed. Worthless, disgraced, dishonored, mocked. Any thoughts on that? Verse 7 and 8. Bobby, you want to read 7 and 8?
I shall give thanks to you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I shall keep your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly.
So what's the benefit? Again, not be ashamed, and I shall have also uprightness of heart. I give thanks to you with uprightness of heart because I learn of your righteous judgments. Make me a servant. Make me have a righteous heart. Make me want to serve others. It's according to your righteous judgments. Any thoughts? When one learns of God's judgments and the grace it bestows, what should be their response?
Keep it. Obey it.
Obey it? Well, what else? What's it say in there? I shall give what? Verse 7.
Thanks.
Thanks. Talks about delight in and giving thanks and joy, and Paul talks about it all the way in his letters. Are we happy? Are we thankful to God? And obeying it. That's. And you guard God's word in your heart. You give thanks and you guard it because you obey, guard, protect. Any thoughts? Okay, verse 9, and why did I ask this? It's in verse 140. Verse 9 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. Do you want to answer that question we were talking about a while ago? There it is in one little short sentence.
Your word is pure. Your word is pure.
Your word is pure. And how are you going to keep your way pure? By keeping that pure word. This pure word, true, genuine, uncorruptible. There's no deceit in it. There's no wrong in it. There's no misguidance in it. Everything in this world, all that's got stuff in it, you know, but not God's word. Okay, verse 11, 101 and 102, and 165. Let's look at 11. Your word I have treasured in my heart. What? That I may not sin against you. There it is again. Somebody wants to tell you about Jesus leading them and speaking to their heart and all that? It may speak to their heart, but they better have the book open and read the verse. Or listening to someone who's reading it from the pulpit or in the class or whatever.
Okay, can I ask a question? I'm going to play devil's advocate. Are you
saying, you just asked a question.
Are you saying that we can't feel like God's word speaks to our heart?
Something that you've never read, never heard, never come across in God's word by word of mouth or by written word, and you don't, and you think God speaks to you in your heart something that you never
heard. Okay. Well, I'm just asking because your statement before I asked my question did not come across clear like that.
How did it come across? Because I was mistaken if I come across wrong.
To me, it came across that we can't, that His Word, which is the written Bible,
are spoken by someone from the pulpit or in a class, but somehow heard the message, the Word of God. Not like a prophet, not in a vision, not in a dream. Now, can he bring it to remembrance? Can you remember something you never studied or heard before? Nope. Am I clear, Dawn? And
yes.
Is your question? Okay.
Yes.
So, you asked me, I'm, be clear. Can God speak to our heart? How do you mean that when you say God can speak to our heart? Bring in remembrance. Bring it to mind. Hear it somewhere. What? What do you think?
I don't think Dawn is saying
that I don't
God
think
speaks
she is
to our heart differently. I think her question would be through His Word. Is that correct, Dawn?
Yes.
Okay, that's what. That's,
and
I just
the way you stated it in all your thing, it could have been taken the other way. That
okay.
It was not. That even that doesn't come on my heart. You know, some people sometimes say, God's Word put this in my heart today. And they got it through God's Word.
Yes.
It's a service thing that they just realized by reading God's Word. And so we take that to heart and we do it.
Yes, right. We have to do it by heart. Thank you for clarifying that, because that's what I did not mean. I meant that. Yeah. But I was quoting the world.
I understood that, but...
Yeah, some people may not. And it's on the recorder. God doesn't lay anything on our heart that is not, that we have not heard, read, I've been influenced by because of what is in His Word. Okay. So, verse 11 says, your word I treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Okay. Verse 101 and 102. Elizabeth, could you read that? 101 and 102.
I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. I have not turned aside from your ordinances, for you yourself have taught me.
Okay, so, what's the benefit there? From God's Word, what's the benefit?
I love to sin. We know good from evil.
Yeah, you don't go with the evil way. You turn away from sin. That's it.
Well, it teaches us what is sin and what is not.
Yeah, and right. And what is sin and what is not. Verse you yourself have taught me. You could take that one and read it, couldn't you? Okay. How sweet are your words to my taste and honey to my mouth, says 103. So it's clearly through God's word. Okay, 165. I like this verse. Those who love your law have great peace, and nothing can cause them to stumble. I want you all to tell me what that means. What that means to you. When you read this verse in this psalm about God's word giving you peace, and you can't stumble. Does that mean we're never going to sin?
We have that peace knowing we can be forgiven.
Okay.
In the footnotes,
yeah,
it says they have no stumbling block.
Yes.
So there's nothing going, you're not going to stumble over something because it's not there. We
That's
learn
right.
through God's word. We have this great peace. And we can have that peace knowing that we're not going to stumble as long as we stay within the parameters of God's word.
Because his way is pure and it's righteous. We already read it. It's harmony that's just there. And you can have peace with that. We have peace in Christ, knowing that we're right with God if we follow him and if we depend on the blood of Jesus to cleanse us. But it's talking about just what Pat said. There's no stumbling blocks. Like what the Jews were doing, and the cross was stumbling blocks to the Gentiles. Or to the Jews. And foolishness to the Gentiles. That wasn't God's problem. That was their problem. So. Very good. It gives us peace, keeping from stumbling in unbelief because his way is pure and right. Okay. And then I ask, what the next one? 24B, 66, 100, 104, and 125. We've quoted this a number of times. Someone just put all those together and tell me, what did you find out what the Word of God does in those verses?
The counselor to you, you have discernment and knowledge, and you gain understanding.
This is one of the verses that I talked about. We were talking about understanding and discernment. The place that I remember was this verse right here. It gives discernment, it gives counsel, it gives understanding. More than the aged, more than the teachers, it gives understanding to those who know the testimonies. Because one of his prayers is, help me to understand. His will said. Okay. Any thoughts on that as you read those passages? Any notes?
Teach me good discernment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments.
Yeah, for I believe in your commandments. So, if you believe and you're looking into with the kind of heart that he's talking about and seeking to know God, you're going to gain discernment. Proverbs is full of it. Understanding is there. Okay. Now, we're going to read 25-28 because this also talks about something that people often don't understand. Okay. Susan, would you read 25 and 28 and 37 of 119? Yes.
My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. And what was the last one?
37.
Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things. And revive me in your way.
Okay. My soul cleaves to the dust, revive me according to your word. 28. My soul weeps because of grief, strengthen me according to your word. 37 again. Turn away my eyes from looking at vanity and revive me in your ways. We're not going to rehash how God turns away somebody from looking at vain things. Now, there may be circumstances in your life that brings you to your knees about that. But if you hadn't studied God's word and know what's vain and what's not vain, you can be down on your knees forever and not know what's vain and not vain, unless you study what God says about it. That brings us then to 50 and 52. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your word has revived me. The arrogant utterly deride me, yet I do not turn aside from your law. I have remembered your order and system of old. And, O Lord, comfort myself. Comfort myself. So, you can get great comfort, whether in affliction, whether you're in stress, whether you're in a health situation, whatever is on your heart and mind and in your life. I have remembered your ordinances from of old and comfort myself. There's benefit in knowing what God says about a bunch of stuff. Okay.
Would this refer to the peace you were talking about earlier?
Yes.
In God's word.
Exactly. So, in 76, it talks about comforting when afflicted and gives new life. Verse 93 says that. That's new life to your spirit. Brings you up. It comforts. It revives. Brings you back. Encourages. All those. Okay. So, when struggling, what's the first thing we should think about to do?
Pray and read God's word.
Pray and read God's word. Anybody else have a thought about that? Do we always do that?
Many people blame God for their problems. They're not going to look to his word because it's all his fault.
It's all his fault.
Or they say there is no God or this wouldn't happen.
Exactly. If God really loved me. Yeah.
If you're having affliction, and it's not even of your own fault. This one evidently, he was having affliction, and I don't know if that caused him to stumble or to be in the position he was in of needing all these things. But it's a lot of times, even Christians, they will, you know, they believe in the health and love gospel. If I'm doing right, kind of like Job, why am I suffering? I've done everything you want me to do. Why am I suffering? And we don't stop and think. Maybe it's a test for God to show Satan that he can't have everybody.
And Pat and I know of a young man who was a really good gospel preacher. And his son had an accident. And God didn't answer his prayers the way he thought he should. And he left the faith. He put sin in his life. Sad.
Who do we know who God said no to at least three times?
Paul.
Did he blame God?
No.
Did he stop preaching the gospel?
No.
What did he do for it? He died for it.
Kept on going.
He kept on going. And that's what we have to do, because sometimes we even have to change our prayers. I know some of you have been in that situation. We pray for one thing. We get sort of down the road a little bit. Prayers need to change.
In that vein, we all know Jeff Lager. We prayed for Jeff. And his son, we visited him here not long ago, and his son said, I never prayed harder for anything in my life than my dad not to have surgery. But had they not had to have the surgery, he would have died within a few weeks, because he had an aneurysm that was hidden behind the heart, and the only way they found it was opening him up to do the open heart surgery to fix something else, and then that's what they found that saved his life. He said, I learned not to be so specific in my prayers.
Right.
Sometimes you pray for God's will. He said, I always pray God's will be done, but I didn't like it that God didn't answer my prayer. Dad had, when I was sitting up there waiting on Dad's surgery, he wasn't mad at God, but he just, why do we have to get this far?
Okay. One final thing. How do we know that God's all-knowing, all-merciful, all-seeing, and wants the good for those who love Him? How are we going to find that out if we don't read His Word and find out about the character of God? To trust in that. So that when things do come and things don't work out the way that we or think it's best, there is a God who knows best. And there is eternal life for those who love Him.